Ladies and gentlemen, the Conservative Daily Podcast is back. And now your hosts, Joe Altman and Max McGuire.
Back with the second hour of the podcast, just to illustrate how we have to walk on eggshells until we have the ability to maintain our own platforms. Ms. Brewster, go ahead and put up my screen. This was a fact check that came down from Snopes, or Snoops, as it's sometimes called. Did Biden violate his own mask mandate? The argument appears to be based on a willful misunderstanding of Biden's new mask policy. And even though they say it's false, they said he did not violate his own mask policy, that even though he was seen on federal property not wearing a mask, Snopes said that that's cherry picking. And it's not good enough to find one instance of him. Apparently, you need to find more than one. They just said this is what I mean by we have to be very careful, because they are not even pretending to be logical anymore.
They're not logical.
They're also saying that the Lincoln Memorial is outdoors, not according to Gavin Newsom's definition. There was a roof that makes it indoors. Yeah, no, it's indoors. Just because there aren't doors. I mean, it's a building. He was in a building. There's a building surrounding the Lincoln Memorial. Just because it's open air doesn't mean it's all of a sudden outdoors. Claiming that he did nothing wrong because it's cherry picking. So that's why we have to be very careful, because they will jump through whatever hoops. They will literally
be careful.
Anything.
Oh, the scary left.
Bunch of wussies.
Well, here's another one. Put this up. This is Amazon requests in-person union vote in COVID hit Alabama. So there are Alabama workers who want to unionize, and they want to conduct their unionization vote by mail. Amazon says no, that opens it up to fraud.
What?
Yeah. They do not want them to vote by mail. They want them to vote in person, because there's more integrity if they vote by in person. So lots of people were posting this, and Facebook and Twitter were flagging it as election misinformation. Because anyone who claims in any way that it is less secure to vote by mail is automatically lying. Even though it had nothing to do with the election, it has to do with this unionization election. And it's a news story.
Hey, guys, hit the share button. We're being suppressed by Facebook now and YouTube and. And so one of the ways that we actually grow is you sharing, right? And talking to your friends and talking to your family. And yeah, so please hit the share button.
Lots of people are asking if we are going to cover Jen Psaki's press conferences the way we covered Trump's press conferences. The answer is no, because the press conferences aren't actually press conferences. It's just leftist love affairs with one or two conservative reporters asking hard-hitting questions that they just avoid. Anyway, just to show you the gist of what's going on in these press conferences, and to make sure you understand that you're not really missing anything. Mr. Brewster, jump to image number 15. Jen Psaki, Joe Biden's cat, quote, is going to dominate the internet, end quote. So on the one hand, Joe Biden has no idea what he's actually signing. And on the other, don't worry, his press secretary promises that his cat will dominate the internet. I don't know a lot about
his cat. Do you guys understand what we're dealing with?
Yeah.
I mean, social dilemma.
I don't know a lot about his cat. But I know that his dogs have more comfortable beds than the National Guard troops in the garage.
Oh,
I know that. I've seen pictures of their dog beds, and they're very comfy.
That is not fake news either. That is truth.
It's not. So yeah, we won't be covering that. You won't be seeing us going live every day if there's a big news story and we want to cover how the White House is going to try and spin it. We might go live, but we're not going to be giving them a platform here to have their little love affair. Not interested at all. So another thing that happened last week is Joe Biden signed an executive order suspending all deportations for 100 days. He said 100 days until we can get an idea for how we want to work the immigration system. 100 days. How that ended up being translated. Put up image number 6. This is a quote from that memo. Release them all, comma, immediately. Email to ICE officers reveals chaos after Biden halted deportations. We have a clip of Tucker Carlson breaking this news late last week. Mr. Brewster, let's go ahead and play cut number 2.
Well, we've got some exclusive reporting for you tonight. In Joe Biden's first day in office, the Department of Homeland Security issued a sweeping directive calling for a 100-day pause on deportations. We reported that last night. We now have an internal email sent yesterday to ICE officers in Texas that shows how this order was enacted. And we're quoting, "As of midnight tonight, stop all removals. This includes Mexican bus runs, charter flights, and commercial removals until further notice. All cases are to be considered no significant likelihood of removal in foreseeable future." In other words, stop sending people here illegally back to the country of origin. The official goes on to say this, and we're quoting, "Release them all immediately. No sponsor available is not acceptable any longer." The official notes in the email that he is just, quote, the messenger explaining the directive. It wasn't his idea. It was Joe Biden's. Now this.
Release them all immediately. What?
No, that's the new thing. That's the new thing.
I mean, as if. Go ahead.
But here's my thing. Why is it that we're staying so calm? Why is it that I get upset? I mean, visibly upset. And we're supposed to maintain this absolute decorum and say, oh, you know, it's okay. Let's just plan around it. I don't know why people aren't losing their minds. I mean, not losing their minds like openly losing their mind, but being passionate about where we are as a country. I want to see some of the people on TV go Braveheart. Freedom. Okay, so I just want to see people actually have passion towards what we're doing. And I watched Tucker Carlson. I love the fact that he puts the news out there, but he's so monotone, like, oh, really? He's got to be boiling inside, huh?
It's kind of style. He kind of makes fun of him in the deadpan.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't understand how we got to the place right now where it's almost like... I'm sorry.
Well, what do you think about the order to release them all? What do you think about a promise that we're going to suspend deportations being interpreted as everyone in detention centers release them all? What do you think about that? I mean, that's a big jump. That's a big change in policy. And can you see any way where that makes the United States better?
No, it doesn't. But we're not for the United States. We're not for us. We're not for the people here. We're not people we're not for the National Guard. We're not for the military. We're not for businesses and communities. We're not for schools. We're not for children. We're not for God. We're not for those things. We're for other people coming in and destroying us from inside. We're for China first. That should be the new slogan for Biden and Harris. Harris. That should be the new thing. Just China first.
So, yeah.
I mean, because that's what it is. It's everyone but us. Feed all of them before attempting to feed yourself. And if you die in the meantime, oh, it's too bad. Oh, I'm sorry that illegals are killing people in the country. Oh, but you know what? Let's let them all go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that they're bringing kids over and with sex crimes and trafficking children. I'm sorry. Let's let them go. It's okay. Just let them go. We like it better when we have massive amounts of evil going through our society. No problem.
Well, the question is, do you think Joe Biden knew what he was signing? Do you think that he knew this was going to happen?
Eric Coomer showed up. Just showed up.
Do you think that Joe Biden meant for this to happen? Or do you think he's being used as the dementia patient he is to enact an agenda that isn't necessarily his own?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think he knows what's happening. I think he's brain dead.
Well, we have a caller who wants to talk about dementia. Dana is on the line. Dana, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. So did you have the unfortunate circumstance of having to have a loved one suffer from dementia? Do you have firsthand experience with it?
I do, and actually I have a broader-based background than that. And hey, Joe, this is Dana.
Hi, Dana.
Hey. So I actually am a licensed clinical health psychologist with a master's in public health and spent my career in academic medicine. In addition to that, I also was the caretaker of my father, who had dementia for 11 years. And so being a contextual behaviorist and looking at all the different factors that go into really understanding dementia, especially dementia at a very early stage, where, you know, we really have come to find that by the time it's pretty obvious to you and the general public, your family member has been in that advanced stage for a long time. And so a lot of times, you know, depression and dementia look identical in early stages. But, you know, as I, and obviously I have not, you know, done any kind of diagnosis or assessment, so I can't,
we don't want to have you run into the risk of diagnosing him.
Exactly,
about the general symptoms, though.
Yeah, so just even the behaviorisms and the mannerisms of word finding and kind of jumbled language and what comes across as an incoherence in things. So all of that is very common. Again, what you lose first when you are in the dementia stage are all of your short-term memory concepts, your ability to do kind of procedural tasks. So, you know, not being able to retain information so that you can proceed through and do different things. So when we see, at least in my assessment, the confusion that he's displaying, the jumbled language, misuse of words, that's very common. So like stop sign for stoplight or seeming, you know, disoriented, getting off topic, and just even that that day that he was first giving his speech and he was kind of wandering on the stage, there's a lot of behavioral patterns that I see going on that have been displayed. And then, in addition to that, having been through that experience both as a clinician in medical centers, but playing a very active role in a locked dementia ward that my father was in. So there's a lot of things that concern me, and I think that it's one of these things where with his age as well, we have to be concerned. We should be concerned. So I'll stop talking if you want to, like, ask me some more specific questions about this. But with that being said, I do think that there's a real concern here.
So the cognitive assessment test that Donald Trump took, do you see enough with Joe Biden to think that it might be a good idea for him to take that test as well?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, really, the real cognitive assessment that needs to happen, which most people don't know about. So within my field, there's a specialty of clinical geriatric neuropsychology. And it's a very comprehensive test that may take someone upwards of 4 hours. And what it does is it assesses every aspect of the, you know, the different areas of the brain, how the different areas function. The licensed psychologist will then also incorporate medical records and medical history and medication so that you really get a true assessment. I'm not sure if that's the test that Donald Trump took, but with that being said, that would be the gold standard. I would imagine
Trump took the Montreal cognitive assessment.
Okay.
Ms. Producer, put up my screen for everyone. I know you know this. Put up my screen, Mr. Producer. It's the, can you name the lion? Can you name the rhino? Can you name the camel?
Yes.
Can you repeat things that would tell you an order and remember the order? Things like that.
Exactly. So that is, that's a great, like, classical short screen test that's really designed specifically for elderly with dementia. So you could say that, yes, that would be a pretty accurate hallmark, but if you wanted to get into the deep dive, it would be doing the other. But what we're finding with that short form test, and you know, in all these tests, there's a whole process that you have to go through for these standardized tests that really are designed to really norm it and look at different aspects of the memory process. But, you know, again, the dangerous thing with dementias is the complete loss of the short-term memory and procedural memory, which is really what allows you to function in the world. It allows you to, to do daily tasks, to understand things. And so for someone in such an important position, it's a real concern. I mean, one of my thoughts just in general about people that we elect into certain positions is I think there are certain screenings that really need to happen and should happen because of the implications of the position they hold and what that means for the rest of the country, and also very easy to manipulate. The challenge with dementia is that, so my father was a brilliant businessman, very savvy with finances, and in the early stages of his dementia, I wouldn't have even, with my background, have guessed how bad his dementia was until I saw the test results, which I was horrified, having even been in the field. And my mom came into the room one day, and my dad had just hung up the phone, and she's just like, "Who are you on the phone with?" and pushed it enough. And some stranger called, scammed him out of $5,000 immediately off the credit card. And this is something my father never would have fallen for. And so we were lucky to get it back. But the ability to manipulate and to take advantage of someone in the state of dementia is very easy, because they don't have the capacity oftentimes for discernment of good decisions, which is really why my dad went into a memory care unit. He tried to take a barbecue grill apart one day and started taking a hammer to the gas tank because he thought he could take it apart. Huh. You know, he put wet paper in the microwave because he thought he could dry it. So as much
sometimes
as
you can.
He was still...
Sometimes you can. I've done that before.
Yeah. So as much as he was competent in so many ways still and functioning in ways, decision-making, when you get to that stage, also impulse control, what we see too is oftentimes people either go towards aggression or kind of inappropriate flirtatious behavior, let's just put it that way.
You're just hitting all the warning signs that we're seeing.
So,
you're hitting it all.
So, so there's these other flavors that go along that also lead to other problems, and it just takes a half a minute of not paying attention to have something go really wrong.
Let me ask you one more question, and then I'll hand it over to Joe if he has any questions.
Yeah.
You mentioned that people take advantage of people suffering from dementia. If you've worked in that environment, I'm sure you've seen the line of family members coming in, always trying to convince someone who has dementia to sign over their will to them, or to do something that isn't in their best interest, it's in theirs. It's usually really, really, elderly care facilities usually try to prevent that. We've been saying since Joe Biden entered the ring that his wife should be ashamed, because obviously she knows much more than what we can see from the public facing videos.
Sure.
She obviously knows a reason for why Joe Biden can only speak for 10, 15 minutes and then has to leave the stage.
Well, they keep putting a lid on it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right?
Yeah.
She's obviously seeing more. Can you share any experiences you had of just like, not necessarily just your father, but anyone else, manipulation? Because that's what we're trying to get at here. If he doesn't know what he's signing, it's not that he wouldn't have signed it if he was completely cognitively aware. It's that someone else is writing these executive orders. They're handing it to him. He doesn't know what he's signing. He's signing it anyway, and then someone else is implementing the policy. Like, if 100%. Someone with dementia or Alzheimer's tried to sign a contract, people would be like shouting and trying to stop it. But with this guy, they're just pushing papers onto his desk. He's signing them. They're running off to the Federal Register to try and get it finalized.
Sure.
What do you think of that?
I mean, my question comes back to around all of this. And again, there's what makes sense logically, and then there's all of us being with our minds blown about what's happening. But when you think about the ethics and the fiduciary duty of the people that are around him, or quite frankly, around anyone who has a dementia, The bounds that need to be in place. I think that sometimes what we find too is, and we can say this. I mean, I'm loosely tying this a bit to the concerns that you were talking about earlier about kids being taken advantage of in school or all these things. There are certain measures that we have in place that, by the time we can actually go in and rewrite a wrong, like the damage has been done. It's like, we make excuses and we need to look at this a different way. And I think our standards of coming in and correcting issues, this is a good example with Joe Biden. It's like, I can't imagine that there aren't plenty of people that are concerned. So
Well, they're talking about it. They're talking about it on CNN, that is cognitive ability, and they're questioning it. I mean, the left is turning on him, too. They want him out. They want someone else that can actually fulfill their agenda.
Yeah. Right? And, of course, that becomes, the big question, too. Like, quite frankly, I feel there's a reason that Joe Biden ended up being the nominee and that not get the podcast in trouble, but what is the agenda and hit this condition that we're seeing becomes a very natural, convenient thing that we can oust him with, but then what are we getting being implemented in? Who's coming in? Yeah. So I think that there was a very selective process that probably went in, and these were factors in it. Into bringing him on board, and then you have to say with the media, Joe, like you just mentioned. So what's their agenda in not being concerned when they saw the same behaviors 6 months ago and they see it now? And what I see with a lot of this, and this is a whole different topic for another show, is really the psychological manipulation that we've been using on our communities and on our public because it's a lot, my coined phrase, it's a lot easier to live a complicated and unhealthy life than a simple and healthy one. And we've created, this kind of environment going on, and we have this majority of this media that now all of a sudden it's fine to have this story and not having the real difficult questions because we don't create that in our society anymore. Where is the accountability? Where is the setting of standards? Where is the people being responsible and really having those conversations? And we're not having them. And there's an agenda. There's an agenda with slick packaging around some of the things that we've seen this last year, where now all of a sudden because something is packaged a certain way, and I'm talking about a medical condition that's spreading around the country, that doesn't have science to support it, but we've packaged it in a way that you're an awful person and you should just go along with having everything about your rights stripped from you. And the throwing people into a state of emotional fear and irrationality has been really successful. And you try and present factual information to someone who's in a state of emotion and emotional fear in particular, and they can't see it. And so we find ourselves in a position of a real difficulty in breaking through because they've been hooked into that place, and that's the message they keep getting, and it supports their mindset. And also, it's much easier to, I think, sometimes support that than to really be honest and look at what's going on. If I put my head in the sand and this could never happen in our country and everything's just going to be fine, that's kind of how a lot of people have been raised to be in our,
You're absolutely right.
Utopia.
You're absolutely right. This is a great call. I want to give Joe a chance. Joe, do you have any question for Dana about what she's seeing, about what you're seeing, trying to get any confirmation about Joe Biden's mental situation?
Well, the fact that they're staying away from it means that they know something, right? I mean, the questions have come up on his abilities. It was even questioned on CNN. It was just a weird deal. I saw this clip where they said, hey, he has some cognitive abilities that looks like that they're eroded, and they literally cut him off, right? It was Don Lemon, right? And they cut him off. So, you know, the people at CNN, the people, this is a controlled narrative, right? They want to prop someone up as much as they possibly can. And frankly, we're at a place right now that if we don't start putting the brakes on, if we don't start putting the brakes on Biden, he might actually make Legos the national the national toy, right? Oh, let's go play with Legos.
Exactly. Well, Legos. And I think, you know, you're exactly right, Joe. And you know, the question is, you know, and that's another example of CNN still controlling the narrative. You know, perhaps it's like, well, we have to kind of acknowledge this, but we're going to cut off his talk. And we're going to, you know, soundbite him and, you know, again, hold him to a different standard and, you know, feel like, okay, we have to, you know, come out and have a little talk. I mean, I don't watch any of those stations, so I haven't seen these clips. But they're still, you know, sounds like doing that control. And I don't know what the timeline is. I've heard different stories, but, you know, how long is it, too, that Biden has to stay in his position that then gives Kamala the chance to, you know, have a very long presidency.
Oh, yeah.
Well beyond, you know, what, you know, how long does he need to be propped up in a certain position? But, you know, when you look back to when he was campaigning, and even that day where he, like, you know, mistook his wife for, like, his sister or whatever.
Sister.
I mean, I mean, these kinds of things, it's, you know, it's easy. And, you know, we all do it with family members we love, too. Like, you know, it's easy for someone to kind of blow something off or justify it. And yet these are all points we need to really take to heart and be aware of, because it's serious. And like I said, in the early stages. So, you know, when my dad was diagnosed, I knew because of my clinical training that I needed to have some comprehensive testing done. And I was, like I said, even with my background, I was floored. I mean, there were areas of the test he was scoring in like the fourth percentile on, meaning 94% of the population that this test was normed on did better than him. And, you know, and this was a man that was still, like, you know, going to the gym and driving and, you know, and doing business stuff. And never in a million years would anyone in the general public think that his dementia was that advanced. And, you know, you get someone old enough.
It's so concerning that with Joe Biden, half the country's like, wait, wake up. This is the big deal. And the media's like, no, pay
what no attention to the man. What am I signing? Yeah. Anyway.
Exactly. And even when you kind of see him sitting there, there's in that, you know, that clip, there's an aspect of him that just looks very disoriented. And, you know, and I thought that with my dad. The thing that another time when you start to really see signs of more advanced dementia is, you know, people become very familiar with their environment. So, for example, Joe Biden knows his basement very well. But all of a sudden you stick them in an unfamiliar environment where they, you know, all of a sudden their dementia really starts to show itself because they don't recognize it. They don't know where things are. They're very disoriented because it's not part of what's been a piece of their regular rote routine. And again, novel environments in particular, because it's the short-term memory and procedural things are what go first. You know, that's why a patient with dementia goes over and over again with the stories of their history and their past and what they did. It's because those are the memories that we retain the longest. So so this kind of disorientedness that we see with him, like that time he was on stage and he was kind of like, kind of where is he walking off?
Where am I going? Wait, where am I going?
Yeah, where am I going? I mean, he seems to do that every time he's on stage. Which is a huge red flag, a huge warning sign. Well, Dana, I appreciate the call. We're going to bring you on again as we have to talk about more of this, because I know it's not going to be the last time we talk about this. But thank you so much for the call, Dana. Really do appreciate it. I mean, with with dementia, with Alzheimer's, you're worried if someone is going to leave the stove on. You're worried if someone is going to get in behind the wheel of a car and hurt someone. With Joe Biden, Mr. Producer, put on up on the screen, put my screen up. With Joe Biden, we have to worry about whether he's going to invade Syria on his first day in office. Convoy of U.S. military troops entered Syria on January 21st. Did he make that order, or did someone else just say it's what Joe would have wanted? And if he made the order, are we really going to live in a world where the leader of the free world, and Dana's not the first person, Joe, that we've had on the show, who is a mental health professional, who has experienced both personally and in her job, people with dementia who have said, without diagnosing, have said, what I see in Joe Biden is very, very disturbing because I see it every day at work. She's not the first one who's called into the show. And I know a lot of people see this and see the same warning signs. Are we really, like, American troops just entered a foreign country after Donald Trump withdrew them, Joe Biden put them back in on his first full day in office. And we're here wondering if he actually is all there. Who's actually reading the orders? Because he's not. I saw this over the weekend. I was speechless. Because we can't, this can't happen.
Well, I think we need to probably have the conversation about what happens next. Like, what happens next if the U.S. military, which, by the way, the leadership in the military, you know, that they're split, right? You have some of the military that says, you know, we're going to support this new administration, right? And you have other parts of the military that are like, this is crazy. Like, the things that they're doing is crazy. I remember having a conversation this weekend where it was brought to my attention that this person would be in the Pentagon or would be in the DHS or would be in one of these places. You know, he was at a high level, and he said he would walk in there and the decision that needed to be made right then would take 4, 5, 6. Oh, we got to study it. But it would be something as simple as talking about some sort of, you know, rights for transsexuals or whatever it is. And it would be decisions made immediately. And he goes, it was mind boggling that that there was no logic to any of the decisions that were made, no matter where he went within the government, because the government is an infected. And he used the word infected. I say it's cancer. He said it's infected with people that are, frankly, evil people, people that just want to do, they have things set on. And by the way, you can't fire someone in the government. It's incredibly hard to fire someone in the government.
Unless they're a political appointee. If they're a political appointee, it's very easy. If they're a career civil servant, it's very hard because they're unionized. They have not tenure in the sense of a college professor, but it's very hard to kick people out. We got this message in. I want to make sure we share it before we run out of time today. Mr. Brewster, put up image number 7. This came from a follower, messaged this into us this morning, referring to our last episode where we talked about insulin costs. My insulin costs, they say, my insulin costs under Obama, $900 a month. My insulin costs under Trump, $76 a month. My insulin costs as of Friday, 5 days into Biden administration, $467 a month.
People, this is crazy.
By the pharmaceutical companies. Why else would this benefit Americans? Hashtag pathetic. And sure enough, it's true. Put up image 8. Go ahead, Joe. After we just show this, Biden administration freezes Trump HHS rule meant to lower insulin prices. He is so adamant about undoing Trump's legacy that he's actually making diabetics pay more for their insulin. Absolutely shameful.
Just think about this. You went from $76. And this, by the way, is the thing that you have to think about when you think of how just disconnected they are with reality, how evil and just sociopathic they are. There are millions of people in this country who have type 1 diabetes. Last year, we gave $50,000 to Children's Diabetes Foundation to help find a cure for this. We did, as a company, we did that. Not Conservative Daily, but I did that. And I used to have conversations with people about the fact that I have to make a decision. I either get my insulin or I don't get to pay. I can't buy food. I need insulin. And so I would literally, and we had a program where we helped people who had diabetes inside the company so they'd be able to subsidize that for their diabetes. Because it's a big deal, because people will literally skip getting their needed medication hoping that they can get by because it's so expensive they can't do it. And yet
people
he walks.
Have allergic conditions not carrying an EpiPen, because the EpiPen all of a sudden costs hundreds of dollars. They can't afford it. So the next time they come into contact with something they're allergic with or get stung by a bee, they're just going to die unless someone has one there.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a crazy world where drug addicts get free Narcan, but if you want an EpiPen to save your son from a bee sting, you're going to have to take out a small loan. I mean, it's really sad. Keep going.
But on day three or day two, he literally comes in and says, I don't care about you. I mean, just, I want you to think about that. Biden comes in and says, I don't care about you. Pharmaceutical companies need to make more. And I can't actually talk to you about why there's other things that, that bother me about pharmaceutical companies. But we are, we have no balance of power. As people, we have no balance of power. You can see it. It's not, this isn't me. Again, we always say that, you know, this is, oh, you're just, you're inflating it. You're just, you know, you're making it a bigger deal than it is. $76 to $467, I think it was, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine that. Now you can't, maybe, let's say you make 50 grand a year.
Doesn't even matter how much you make. No one should have to pay that much more.
But just imagine the fact that you're already, your health insurance costs you $1,000 a month to cover you and your family. It's over $1,000 a month, and on top of that, they have to pay $450-$500 for insulin. I mean, I am amazed by the fact that we're not actually in the streets. I am because I'm watching people just get destroyed every day. And I'm thinking to myself, we're the people that believe in law and order, but there is no law and order. There's no law and order. Where's the law and order? Where you can take $500, where a pharmaceutical company that used to have to sell it to you for $76, did you see them going out of business? Any of the pharmaceutical companies file for bankruptcy? No? Then why did it go from $76 to $467? Why? Why are we hurting people? Why are we suppressing people?
Well, the reason that this got passed was because he signed an executive order saying we're freezing everything that Trump administration was working on that hasn't fully gone into effect yet. So this was finalized, set to go into effect this coming month, and Joe Biden shut it down. So, I mean, that's what happens when you indiscriminately just say stop it all, freeze it all. Yeah, people get hurt. And the fact that they heard people were getting hurt and they didn't undo that order for this to make sure that insulin wasn't and
EpiPens
weren't getting crazy.
Because they don't care about you. It's a game. To them, it's a game.
You say they.
It's an establishment. It's an establishment.
I assume you mean the plural they and not the transgender they.
I don't.
I mean, which is kind of the question.
Can you actually say that on this podcast?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about there's different ways now. Apparently, you can use the word they. Some people think that it's proper to use they to refer to a singular being. But you say they, which refers to multiple people, which again, who is the person actually writing these executive orders? We just played it. We'll play it again in a second. Joe Biden doesn't know what he is signing. He doesn't know what he's signing. They're putting it in front of him, telling him sign it anyway. He signs it and they rush off and implement it. So did Joe Biden make the decision to cut people off and to make people pay more for their insulin and EpiPens? Was that someone else, or does just no one care? There's really no good look here. However you slice it, it's really, really bad look.
It is meant to hurt the American people. It is meant to beat us into submission, just like censorship and fear. It's meant to take away hope. And it's meant to destroy us from the inside out. We are basically at the beck and call of foreign interest. That's what we are right now. Foreign interest and systems designed to rob you of your voice. Just think of the parallels, Max. Think of the parallels. We have 70% of the population in the United States believe that something happened. I don't even know what am I allowed to say?
No,
I can't say it. So 70%, right?
You can't even go into it.
They tell us we can't have a voice. They tell us that they're going to suppress us. They do suppress us. They come in and they basically suppress us more by saying we're going to charge you more. We're going to make things more expensive. Gas prices are up by 20 cents just in the last week, right? Stocks are dropping, except for the ones that are the leftist ones, right? I mean, I don't actually know. my brain is hurting right now. I'm like thinking to myself, oh my gosh, how is it that we collectively as a society aren't saying to ourselves, what the heck is going on? This has got to stop. They don't represent us. When do we have the aha moment? After we're dead? After Bill Gates gets his globalist idea that we can shrink the population? When? When do we become important? When do we get opportunity back? When do we get to the point where it's not 11 months that a kid has to get out of college before he can get a job? Oh, unless he's Biden's kid, and then he can go, you know, bilk someone out of $20 million. What about that? I mean, it blows my mind. It blows my mind. It blows my mind.
Well, you say the foreign interests, and we'll wrap up today's show talking about this, and I want to do a full hour on this because it's too important not to. The Paris Climate Agreement,
yeah.
Joe Biden says we're back in. Now, originally, Barack Obama wanted to give them $3 billion to redistribute wealth around the world. What it is.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with climate. It has to do with wealth redistribution.
Right.
Mr. Beers, put up image number 9. This is incredible. The United Nations says America is already cutting so much carbon, it doesn't need the Paris Climate Accord, because the Paris Climate Accord doesn't actually help us do anything.
Right.
Right. The Paris Climate Accord is all different countries pledging to hit a certain amount and then saying, I'm going to need the American government to foot the bill on that one. So I want to go through a few of these countries and just show people how insane this is. Mr. Producer, put up image number 10. This is for Yemen. In September of 2016, Yemen pledged to reduce emissions by 1% by 2030 as part of the United Nations framework, and outlined an additional 13% reduction that could be achieved with international support. I mean, this is essentially, this is climate extortion. If you believe that the climate is changing and that man has the ability to reverse it, this is extortion. Yemen saying on our own, we can cut emissions by 1%. But with your help, we can get 14% and save the planet. Otherwise, we're just going to keep polluting. That's Yemen. Mr. Bruiser, put up image 11. This is Iran. Iran says a 4% cut of emissions by 2030 relative to business as usual, or a 12% cut conditional on international support of $35 billion. Say, we'll cut 4%, but if you want us to hit 12, it's going to cost you $35 billion.
You missed the other part. Both are conditional on an end to sanctions.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I do not have confidence. I do not have confidence personally. I don't have personal confidence that we are, that our country, our world, our globe can continue, sustain for much longer based on what we're dealing with. Greed, power, corruption, people in positions of power, government people not being able to be fired, personal interests, people like Biden being elected as president of the last free country on earth, censorship, oppression.
Well, you've been in other countries.
I've been in 65 other countries.
You've seen how they built the American taxpayer, and they say, oh, well, we could feed our people if only you provided food aid. And you've seen how that food aid gets rerouted to warlords and interested people, never really reaches the people it's supposed to reach. We've talked about on the show about Palestinian Authority. They said they needed $50 million plus from the United States, right? And that was going to help educate their children. What they didn't tell you is that they were also buying a $50 million private jet for their own leaders to jet around the world.
Right.
So it's not that they can't afford it. They want us to foot the bill, and then they want to funnel things into other causes. Real quick before we end, image number 12. This is North Korea. North Korea promises an 8% reduction by 2030. Compared to business as usual, they could do up to 40% conditional on international support. So they'll keep destroying the planet unless we give them money. And this is the big one, China, image number 13. China's promise is that a peak in carbon dioxide emissions by 2030 with, quote, best efforts, end quote, to peak earlier. China has also pledged to source 20% of its energy from low carbon sources by 2030 and to cut emissions per unit of GDP by 60 to 65% of 2005 levels. So China isn't actually promising a cut. China's promising a peak. They're promising that by 2030, they will have polluted the most. And just to make sure you can see what this means, put up image number 14, Mr. Producer. This is the graph of China versus the United States. You look at that. Now, yeah, we historically have, we've had a lot of pollution, and we've done our best to fix it. We don't need the United Nations to tell us how to do that. The United States is declining, not because the United Nations tells us to, because it's a good idea not to pollute and ruin our environment. China is still going up. So what you see there under China's agreement in the Paris Agreement is not the peak. Their peak, 2030, they are promising that 2030 will go up. They're not even promising to reduce their emissions. So the reason this is all a scam is that the whole purpose of the Paris Climate Agreement is to punish the United States. We're reducing our emissions without the UN. They want to punish us, redistribute our wealth to other countries to help fund their lowering of emissions. And yes, some of that money would go to China, who isn't even promising to lower their emissions and isn't even bound by the promise of 30% of peaking. It's not actually binding. There's no teeth. It's just a promise. They take our money. There's a lot of teeth there, but there's no actual hard teeth requirements that they uphold their side of the bargain. So Joe Biden is essentially promising billions of dollars of American taxpayer dollars to other countries without actually having them pledge to do anything in return. And when they actually do pledge something, it's paltry. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, Yemen promises 1%. Give us your money. Maybe we'll do more. It's a joke. It's a joke. And Donald Trump was absolutely right.
It's a joke.
He was absolutely right to get out of it. And the fact that Joe Biden forced us in without a moment's hesitation. Again, is this what he wants, or are other people making the decision for him? I'll give you the final word, Joe, as we wrap up this second hour.
I've had a lot of final words today.
Well, just be careful.
I got to be careful. So I feel like I'm in a bumper car race, like I'm on the bumpers.
And we just want to make sure this isn't the final word.
Yeah, this isn't my final word. It would not be my final word as well. Well, a couple things. Number one, I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank you. And I know, I mean, I've gotten all these emails and text messages and people saying, hey, listen, Joe, why aren't you on the show? Like last week, I literally had my mailbox filled up with stuff. Why weren't you on the show? And I had work I had to get done. I had work I had to get done so we can get this IPO actually launched. So we can actually do this thing. I had to make sure we had proper partnerships and do those things. But we are going to be, I just want to thank you for encouraging us and helping us explore other options. So, you know, the TV.gab, we are going to go there. We are going to have that spooled up because, frankly, the best I can tell is it's actually a free platform. Like it literally.
No, you need to pay for it.
Then we'll pay for it. But what I'm saying is it's free to, you have freedom of speech, right? It has a live component, has all sorts of other things that you still have on YouTube, but it's free. It's a freer component. It might be a really good partnership for us, but I want you to not be discouraged, right? I want you to understand that, look, Rome wasn't built in a day, but you can knock it down in a day, right? And we're seeing them trying to knock it down in a day. So we just got to be able to stand up, stay strong, go straight, build the things in, be courageous, make sure you're doing the right thing. And you know what? It all will work out in the end. It may not look like it today. It might look like we're playing from behind, but we're not. We're not playing from behind because we're not evil. At the same time, we're going to have to do some things over the next couple years that, frankly, are uncomfortable for some of you. And then if it's uncomfortable for you, then you can't actually be the one doing those uncomfortable things. But we have to fight against what's happening to us in this censorship and things in unconventional ways. Now, that does not mean violence. We're not there yet. I don't think we'll get there. You know, they got us to this place without firing a shot. Actually, they had people fire shots, but they fired shots. They did most of this damage by walking through and infiltrating our environments. And we have to do the same thing without becoming the very thing that we're fighting against. So I'm pretty encouraged about what we're doing. I will tell you, God is 100% at the wheel. I got to finish this by telling you that you have to understand that if we invite God to the party and we make sure that we stay diligent on making sure that we have those standards that we have applied to ourselves, we'll be fine, right? We just got to have faith and then we got to act. And with those two things, you know, evil cannot win.
Yeah. Well, very, very true. And just in case anyone thinks we should have been covering the White House press conference instead of this show today, just want to give you the breaking news out of the White House press conference. Harriet Tubman will be going back on the $20 bill. So that is the Joe Biden administration's really important policy objective,
right, putting
Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill.
Someone just gave us a recommendation. Richard goes, Max should put a buzzer that plays Short Ice Ice Baby every time he has to bleep Joe or cool him off.
And then we get taken down for copyright violation.
Ah, see?
No,
we can't
you
even
just
do
did
that.
It.
Richard, we can't
you
even
just
do
did
that.
It.
I did not.
You I just said, hummed
no,
it.
No, 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 no. I did not.
So stop. Don't do it again.
Oh, my gosh. I can't. My head hurts. I can't even comment that's on a comment.
No, that's not even a censorship thing. We cannot play copyrighted music. That's not a censorship thing. That's just a basic business thing.
And I can't even hymn it. I can't even like
nope.
sing like to myself.
Nope. Oh. Can't do it. Can't do it. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Have to end it before Joe starts singing any more copyrighted music. If you like the podcast, make sure you subscribe to the audio version of the podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podbean. We're also live on Facebook. Make sure you like and follow our Facebook page. On YouTube, hit the subscribe button and the bell for notifications. And on DLive, make sure you follow us over there as well. If you haven't already, text FREEDOM, FREEDOM, to 89517. You'll receive a text alert when we go live. This is how we're getting around Facebook censorship. So you don't have to rely on Facebook, YouTube, other big tech companies to alert you when we're live. You can also join our email newsletter, link in the description as well. As I said, we're on DLive. Make sure you head over there. And there is a link to donate to the podcast. Make sure you do that if you have the capability to do so. We're on Rumble, rumble.com/user/conservative daily. When Parler comes back, we'll still be there at Conservative Daily. And we do have a fax blast running today to put a stop to the GOP. There's now 21 GOPers who are either open to convicting Trump or unsure what they'll do. Join the Fax Blast campaign and let's put a stop to this GOP cowardice and backstabbing before it's too late. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. My name is Max McGuire.
And this is Joe Altman.
Remember, everyone, that the fight to take back our country isn't over yet, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.